This is the word of the Lord. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Thanks be to God.
All right. Good morning, everybody. My hope to this morning is to talk about hope. Are you feeling hopeful right now? Have you felt hopeful in the past few months? Maybe the real question needs to be, when was the last time you were hopeful or had any hope? Are these questions too hard, too pointed, too tough? If it is, I don't mean for it to be. And I certainly don't mean to ruin your Sunday morning. I'm hoping that by the end of our conversation, you'll know heaps or maybe just a glimmer of hope. Let's consider for a second what hope might feel like. For me, hope feels like a warm sun as I sit at the beach with a cool breeze blowing by. Or maybe the shade of a tree on a hot summer day. Do those word pictures work for you? Maybe you have your own word picture that actually makes more sense. As we talk this morning, consider what your word picture might be. When the option of preaching came up and Monica asked Nadia and I if we'd preach, we both said yes. The truth is, this is my first official sermon. While I've led youth conversations a lot, this is my first time up in big church doing a sermon. Now, I'm an optimist, and normally things like this don't bother me at all. And at first, it didn't bother me. And they don't bother me because I typically make light of things, or I don't actually let them get into my head too far. In fact, I often describe myself as a three-quarters glass full kind of person. And if you know the Enneagram, I'm a big number seven, the enthusiast. So I thought I could put off this sermon because it was going to happen in 2 months. Putting it off obviously made stress increase and my confidence decrease. And so a couple weeks ago, there actually needed to be more work on my own personal confidence and my possibilities of being or getting this sermon done and prepared. The one thing that I knew for sure was that I wanted to talk about hope. And I got the idea when I was talking to the youth in Sunday school in January or February, and we were talking through this passage, Romans 5, 1 through 5. And this, the second part of verse 5, or the first part of verse 5, actually stuck with me. And so that's what I want to focus on this morning. I'm not sure how the youth conversation went. I'm sure that it was unmemorable. We'll have to ask some of the youth what they thought. But we'll talk further as we go along. So let's look at the passage for a second. So for the past few months, Romans 5 has been rolling around in my head. But let's take a look at the whole passage. It starts with therefore. So we have to go back and look at what Paul is talking about. And Paul is talking about the covenant that God has made with Abraham way back in Genesis, the covenant that would establish a nation through the bloodline of Abraham, a bloodline that would take somewhere between 50 and 80 years to begin. Then the passage takes or lays out huge Christian concepts, the idea of justified by faith, peace with God through Jesus Christ, obtain access by faith to this grace, and this idea of rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. So we're not going to actually look at the big concepts or those big concepts, mainly because those concepts would be a sermon all in of themselves. We're going to just talk about hope today. So my question is, is hope easy for you? Does hope just come because we're justified by faith? Does hope come because Christ came as a mediator for us? I'm going to hazard, no, I don't think those are necessarily the ways. We find God's glory in our hope, but also Paul tells us that we find hope in our suffering, in our perseverance, and in our character development. So the ups and downs, the mountains and valleys, the highs, the lows of life are all a part of God's great plan. And they all lead to hope. The hope that Abraham offers and the hope that God is offering us today, Paul says, will not be put to shame because God's love is poured out into our heart. Wow. That's some amazing stuff to think about. But we are going to focus on the last verse and my favorite part. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts. To me, that's awesome. I could just... Sorry, my dog here is running around and I'm getting distracted. I could jump right into the rest of the sermon and keep talking. But what if I have learned anything over the past 25 years working with youth is that we need to be involved in the conversation. So I know this isn't normal for a big church, but I'm going to try something a little bit different here. I'm going to open up the chat box. And what I'm actually looking for from you, the rest of the congregation, is to join the conversation. And what I'm hoping you'll be able to do is answer possibly one of these three questions. And that is, what does this verse mean to you? Or what does this portion of the verse mean to you? What is it saying to you? Or what is God revealing to you through it? And so here's the portion I want you to think about and then put into the chat. And so it's Romans 5, 5a. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love is poured out into our hearts. And while you consider that verse and while you write some stuff in the chat, I'm going to tell you a little story, if that's okay. Now, I told you that I'm a three-quarters glass full kind of person. But the truth is that the past few months have been hard. In fact, really hard. I normally don't allow these things to bother me. And probably a statement that is truer is this, that I might not, or that I make light of hard things in my life so that they can become easier for me to swallow. And the Enneagram 7 of me likes to reframe these hard things in life so that they're easier for me to deal with. The hard thing in my life recently has been our move back to BC. Now, BC is beautiful, and coming back to friends and family was the easy part. But we lived in New Jersey, and that life in New Jersey was very comfortable for me. For me, I had settled very well into our little town in the South Jersey, about 7 or 8, maybe 10 miles away from Philadelphia. Our friends, my little side business, and the youth group at our church were pretty sweet. There was a true meshing for me in all these areas of my life. If I worked in someone's house, they knew that I was, or that I worked for the church as the youth director. And this led to deep conversations with their kids about faith and about much more. The community saw Nadi and I as much more than just churchgoers. We were invited into all kinds of different conversations. For me, it was fantastic. Notice I said, for me, it was fantastic. It was a different story for our girls. Our move back to BC started with the realization that our girls were becoming or already were unhappy living in New Jersey. That realization was, as a dad, very hard to receive. Nadi and I needed to do something, and that something was to move back to BC. It was hard to say goodbye to our friends there, our youth, and the church family. It was hard to say goodbye to the dreams I had dreamed and our lives and the dreams that we had dreamed for our lives in New Jersey. For quite a while, and still sometimes, it's hard to see God's hope, to feel the warmth on my face. I needed to know God's hope. I needed to know Christ in us is not being put to shame. So that's a little story about our move back to BC and some of the hope that was a struggle. Let's take a look at what everyone is suggesting here. Oh, we have two posts. One, Nadia said, I need to be intentional about seeking hope. And I think that's true for a lot of us, that we need to be hopeful. The Millie is right. Staying hopeful requires motivation. Thanks, Edmund. And motivation is a big key, right? We could just sit there and do little, or we could actually move forward. And so I like that word motivation, Edmund. Audrey writes, hoping God does not put me to shame. It is a bandage or a silver lining. It is not a bandage or a silver lining, but a promise that God is faithful to our hope. Great words. I love the idea and the imagery of not a bandage. I like that it's full and complete. Thank you for adding that. Jagan writes, the juxtaposition that hope and shame are very profound and raises interesting questions. I agree, Jagan, and I think that's why it rolled around in my head for so long. The way it's stated here in Romans, and Paul often does this. He puts things in unique ways that makes us think. John and Yumiko write, I think being focused on what God is directing us to do brings excitement and hope. So this helps us not to be overwhelmed or ashamed. I agree. I think the plans, goals, direction that God puts before us helps keeps us focused. I think that's great. Paul and Melanie, I love it that God does not disappoint. I agree. God may not disappoint. Everything's not always rosy, but you're 100% correct that God does not disappoint. Good words. The Genesees say, the NIV says disappoint in places of shame. I like the idea that God does not disappoint me. Absolutely. Thea writes, I notice that being thankful and noticing God moments around me keeps my hope up. Yeah, 100%. And this is where my message is going to go this morning, that I needed to do that. And I still need to do that. Looking around me and noticing where God is moving is the key to, for me, to living hopeful. Moses writes, maintenance of hope requires persistence and truth in God, but we also must learn to discern the source of what we hope for sometimes. Oh, 100% Moses. Sometimes the hope that I wish for is out of my own desires and not at all out of God's desires. So I appreciate your discernment there, or the use of the word discernment there. George writes, I think that gratitude has much to do with the encouraging hope as we remember God's presence and movement in seemingly hopeless circumstances. Yeah, and the key for me at least is to slow down to be able to notice God's presence in seemingly hopeless circumstances. Thank you, George. Susan writes, our hope comes from within because we can be filled with God's love. Good, and you switched over to the second part of that small portion of the verse as far as referring to God's love there. And I do think that those two are linked significantly. It doesn't depend on what we see around us. Excellent. Well, thank you for sharing. We're going to move past and move on through from chat. But I appreciate that as a group, as a community, we were able to kind of come to talk about and learn more from this passage. So back to the message that I had written. In the past few months since the move, since meeting the lovely youth of Kits in Fairview, and since sharing this passage with the youth in the winter, I've realized that I need to be more intentionally seeking God's hope, seeking Christ. And I actually think that Christ is the hope that is being referred to here in the passage. It's been an uphill slog, the kind of slog that has good days and bad days. Let me tell you about one of the good days. A couple weeks ago, as the youth and I read through Proverbs, this proverb came along, Proverbs 13, verse 12. And it says this, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but longing fulfills, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life." Let me read it again. "Hope deferred makes a heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life." Isn't that the truth? When I look back at the move, I can see that I was deferring hope. I was putting off hope. I was telling hope to wait till tomorrow, and I was making my heart sick. When I stopped and looked around at all that God had set up for us here in BC, whether it's this house, the jobs that Nadi and I have, our friends and family have done amazing things. It all helped wake up the hope inside me. My hope began to grow, may I say, like a tree. Christ had gone before us in so many ways, and Christ was there in our friends and family as we came back. The tree of life in Proverbs could be referring to Christ. I love that image, the idea of the tree of life with roots growing deep. So maybe like Christ growing deep within us, or the top stretching toward the sun. So us stretching toward knowing Christ more. There seems to be a lot of hope in the tree, or in the image of a tree. So this image of a tree is important to our family. And Jagan has a picture to share with you. So if you look at this picture, it obviously has deep roots, has a giant tree at the top, and then all the writing around it. A friend actually did this picture. He's from Ladner here, and he gave us this print, and then all of our friends came around and signed it. So 7 years ago, when we were moving to New Jersey from BC, our friends came together and signed this picture. And so you can imagine us being in a house that we moved out of. And it became a very rooted feeling for me. This idea of being rooted in our friends' friendship and in our friends' belief of Christ watching over us. And then all together as we did this goodbye time, it reached something new. So being rooted is something Christ, our faith, our friends, and each other, and reaching out for something. Christ's plans for our lives, the sky, so we're reaching for the sky, our dreams and our goals. That is what this painting represents. For us and our family and our friends, keep us rooted in Christ and are life-giving. They are the tree of life. They sure make God's hope. Oh, they make sure that God's hope will not be put to shame because his love is being poured out by the Holy Spirit. God's love is being poured out for Abraham, for me, and for you. Where is God pouring his love out for you? Amen. All right, friends. Go into this week knowing that hope is right there. Maybe you have to look for it. Maybe you have to push things out of the way for it. Maybe you have to wait for it. but hope is right there. Christ is our hope. Blessings this week.